Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9490 for Lewis Coco, in for Kyle today. And Hugh, joining us right now in studio is Rhea Hughes.
And her sit-down is brought to us by the Mattress Warehouse with exclusive bed match technology, so you can find your perfect night's sleep at the Mattress Warehouse.
Rhea, how are you?
I am wonderful. We need to find our perfect match for the rest of this Phillies team.
We do, and it might be multiple people.
Yes. Multiple.
All right, let's start here. What did you make of David Robertson coming back for a third time?
Which third time's a charm.
If I'm correct in what I saw this morning, it's the first Philly since Chuck Kline to have three different stints with the Phillies.
And Chuck Kline was here in when? The 50s, yeah, the 60s,
yeah,
or
long,
40s? It's been a long time.
Long enough that I don't know if anyone listening remembers watching Chuck Kline.
Here's where I was trying to take the positive out, because he did pitch well last year.
Yeah, and I still think he's good, yeah.
And the only reason that no one signed him is they weren't going to give him $15 million.
Yes.
So I get that. When he pitched for us before, when the first stint, was that 22?
The first stint was 19 and 20, and he got hurt like it's 7 games in, then we never saw him again.
The next time.
When they went to the World Series, he was on that team. He saved game one in Houston.
Yeah, what I think is he ran out of gas.
Yeah.
So the positive way to look at it is it's July.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's it going to take him a couple weeks to get up to speed?
I would think. I mean, he hasn't pitched in a game since last September.
I think I read something right before I came out, and it was confirmed, and he's been optioned to AAA. So I guess
I saw that too.
He'll do the rehab start.
Yep.
Not rehab start, but
stint.
Know,
yeah.
Stint. I like it in terms of that they need all the help they can get in that bullpen. And if he's got a fresh arm and he pitched well last year, so I'll take that as a positive. It doesn't mean I don't still think they need another bullpen. But to me, because if you're going to move some of these starters in,
mm-hmm.
you are getting 0-4 through 9.
I mean, zero.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm shocked that they're even pitching to Schwarber and Harper at this point.
Well, they're not going to for long.
They're not going to.
Especially when you talk about the playoffs. That was the strategy last year, something like that.
So to me, I was mentioning to you, I was listening to Murph and Ella do the game yesterday, and they were openly lusting after, is it Tyler Ward and Joe Adell?
Joe Adell. Yeah. Well, I can understand the Ward thing. I mean, he crushed them all weekend.
Oh, he was killing them. He was killing them. So it's... We all know what the problems are. You're getting why is Max Kepler still on this team?
I have no idea. I mean, and now doesn't it feel like Topper's trying to send a message? I think he's trying to send a message to Dombrowski. He doesn't want to play him anymore. Last weekend, it was the first time he didn't start against a righty in months.
Yep.
And then this weekend, I know Rojas got the hit Saturday, but the fact they didn't pinch hit Rojas out for Kepler against a righty late in the game, I was like, oh, he doesn't want to use Kepler anymore.
No, he doesn't want to use him.
And I wouldn't either.
No, I don't blame him. So it's been, Dombrowski cannot not come through with the same moves he's done the past couple years at the trade deadline.
It won't work.
They need to be substantial.
Yeah. Where do you come down on the overall aspect of this team? Because I found it interesting this week, and Middleton on Friday night spoke, and he was using the term like, hey, we don't need a fourth starter until the second round of the playoffs, almost as if they're in already. And they've played under 500 baseball since June 1st. Yes. Like, if you ask me to bet right now, I would bet them to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I think they'll get in as either the division winner or a wild card. But they're not 10 games up on a spot. Like, I feel like they need to be aggressive.
They're not the Detroit Tigers.
They're not.
Who, had a 10-game losing streak and are still up 11?
They're a lock.
I mean,
they're a lock.
I think they're the only. Is that really true? Is that their lead?
They're up like 10 or 11 games.
But didn't they have like a horrible losing streak that I thought I read, but they still have a ridiculous lead?
Well,
I have to look it up.
Part of it is their division stinks, right?
Well, then there's that.
That
is always helpful when it. But the Mets have been like 10 and 20 since.
So there's two ways to look at the Mets thing.
Yeah.
You could say, all right, the Phillies are fine because the Mets have their own issues.
Yeah.
But I wish the Phillies were like 6 games up. They should have buried the Mets by now.
They should have buried them, yeah.
And instead, they've let them hang around.
Well, they're losing series now.
Yes.
And that's the problem.
Three
in a row. They were doing well. Now they're losing. The Bohm thing is really interesting because there's a guy out there. Now I'm blanking on his name, but I was thinking about it. Is it Suarez?
Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks.
The third baseman.
He who has 35 home runs.
35, okay. I'm thinking, spot's going to be open. You know, he's going to be out for a month. But, you know, can you... Not that I've been in love with Bohm before this. But it really messes... It's not just getting injured. Players get injured. It's Stott being so bad.
Terrible.
So you can't just, you know, throw Sosa over a third because they have to platoon him.
Yeah. It's going to be Kemp a lot at third the next 4 weeks.
Yeah. And Kemp, that's not his... He's not been very good at third.
Well, he had two errors yesterday. Yeah. I mean, Bohm's not a Gold Glover, and he makes him look like one
Bohm
over there.
Bohm has made himself into a solid. He's not, as I used to love when Ray Dinger would refer to Bohm and
Hoskins.
And Hoskins is the corner butcher.
It was an all-time nickname.
It was the greatest line
it
ever.
It really was.
Only Ray comes up with those.
Yep.
But Bohm has made himself into a decent to average, above average, you know, average defenseman.
Well, now without him for 3 weeks or a month, it makes the lineup issues just more glaring.
Even worse.
Yeah, because you're like, all right, I don't love him, but at least, you know, he'll get a lot of hits, right?
Yeah,
he'll get
exactly.
his singles and doubles.
And he's your righty.
Yes.
So,
I mean, the Eugenio Suarez thing, if they can get him,
what are you willing to give up to get him?
Well, so, and here, how do you.
How much control? Like,
He's a free agent to be.
So he's a rental.
He's a rental. So the question is.
So you don't have to give up as much.
You probably wouldn't. But what do you do when everyone gets back? You have to reshuffle everything. Because Suarez is a third baseman.
Yeah.
Right? So he plays third base. You're not going to trade him not to play him. Then where does Bohm go? First and Harper to the outfield?
I was just about to say.
Yeah.
This team is better with Harper in the outfield.
Of course it is.
We talked about it earlier this year.
Would you be okay with that, Hugh? But I mean, this guy is the best power hitter available. He's 35 home runs. Like, you'd have him and Schwarber, two of the, I don't know, eight best home run hitters in baseball together.
I hear you, but it isn't part of the reason why we move Harper to first base, to keep him healthy?
Yeah, but he's healthy now. It was to protect the arm when he came back.
Okay, well, that's fine.
You don't think he's more in danger of getting hurt at first base than he is
well,
out in the
right
field?
Well, I mean, he did have the first couple weeks he was at first base, he did do some acrobatic type stuff.
When we fell in the crowd?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well?
It was 2 years ago, like right around this time of the year.
Literally, he just came back, he fell right in the well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm impressed with how well he's played it at first base.
Me too.
He belongs back in the outfield.
Well, and it would be
it would make the team better.
It would be a short term thing. It'd be what, a month and a half.
Especially when you're talking about where this team is and the fact that they're getting older and they need to break through. It's about time to break through.
What do you make, Rhea, of every time we hear a rumor about them? It's a pitcher. Like, do they not see what we see with the lineup, or do you think they're posturing because they don't want to put it out there? Because all I see is connected to this pitcher and that relief pitcher, but no bats.
It's interesting who connects them. Like, I mean. I was, like I said, I'm listening to the broadcast, and they're closer to the team than anybody else, and openly lusting after.
They're saying team. A bat.
But, you know, but you've got the guys, your Rosenthals, your Nightingales. Didn't Jason say something over the weekend, Jason Starr?
Jason said they want to do something big, and I think he referenced like a dream scenario would be Duran and Buxton from the Twins.
But Buxton won't do the new trade.
Yeah, and he'd be perfect because he's a center fielder that can hit. It would fit two things at once, like a bat and an outfielder.
Why does Buxton just...
He said he wants to finish his career Twin. I don't know. He loves Minnesota for some reason.
Who loves Minnesota?
I guess Byron Buxton. I have no idea.
It gets cold there.
Maybe no one told him.
Maybe he doesn't live there in the winter.
Yeah, he probably doesn't.
Probably a nice place to live in the summer.
I think he's from Atlanta, so maybe he goes back south. Yeah,
no chance.
Yeah, he's not living
Minnesota
down there
in the winter.
No shot. 215-592-9494. All right, before we go back to the phones, what's your thought on Hugh becoming a full wine guy now? He went to winery in his time off.
I'm very impressed because I am a wine person. I do not drink beer. I've just never liked the taste of it. So I've been a wine person pretty much my whole life. I love redwood dinner, you know, when I'm having a piece of steak or some pasta. In the summer, I'm a white wine person.
You like the white wines.
I'm
a fan.
I don't like the sweet. I like the white. I'm a Sauvignon Blanc. You know, maybe a little Pinot Grigio, but nothing sweet.
I need to figure out, like, I don't think I've had any really, really sweet reds, so I need to try to figure out some of those.
Yeah, I'm an Italian red wine drinker.
Yeah, I like white wines.
I like that you're, look at you.
I was skeptical this was going to happen, because he talked about it, but now he's a full wine guy.
I got, and plus it's like a wine buzz is different, it's like a mellow.
Because you're not pounding it.
Well, it's not supposed to.
I did hear you say that you were pounding it. But also, I do listen before I come on. It is in the hallways. The great thing about wine is it's not as bloating as beer.
No, it's not.
Beer every once in a while, I'll go somewhere and it's like super hot out and they have no wine. And I'm like, all right, I'll have beer. Like halfway through it, I go, this is terrible. It's just,
for me.
It's bloating.
Well, for me now, it's when you drink beer, you're full. Like you said, full.
Yeah.
Drink a couple beers and it's like, man, I don't feel like drinking a couple glasses of wine.
Yeah. You're good to go.
Yeah, or a couple bottles.
But try not to pound. Try not to pound them. Some of the alcohol content is high in them.
Be careful with that pounding, Hugh. Just be careful. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to the phones. Then we're going to play for you something Ruben Amaro said this morning I thought was interesting with Rhea in the morning show. Rob and Delco, I'm assuming...
Are you going to tell him some background?
Yeah, Rob, before you say what you said, so Lewis put on the board what you wanted to talk about here, and it said... I know you, Rob, so I know you want to rip Dombrowski. But at first glance, I was like, R.I.P. Dombrowski.
That's on me. That's my bad.
It's okay.
But I thought the same thing. I looked up. I said, wow, R.I.P. Dombrowski is ready to fire him before the trade deadline.
I know I criticized him, but I like the guy. Let's hope he's okay. Rob, go ahead.
No, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Hugh. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Listen, Lewis is kind of, he kind of enhanced what I wanted to say. Listen, I'm like, that's my boy Lewis. Kyle, take a couple more days off. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I'm taking a little shot at Kyle, too. So take as much time as you need, Kyle. Lewis is doing a great job. So, listen, all kidding aside, that's great. Like, that leads into what I want to say. First of all, what I took away from this weekend before I ripped on Ralphie, I was impressed as heck with the aggressiveness and the pop in that Angels lineup. Because I just thought it was, after Otani left, I'm like, yeah, they got a Trout, and he's like there half the games if he's there. I'm like, what else do they got? But I'm like, you know what? That outfield with Ward and how do you pronounce it? Adele?
You know, Rob, if they had any pitching, they'd be a contender. They can hit. I was actually just watching their lineup. They attacked Ranger yesterday.
Listen, their lineup was more impressive than ours.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And that's with Schwarber smoking the ball. And that's with Harper getting back to his old self. I still was more impressed with their lineup overall. And Hugh, I got to say something real fast before I rip them around.
What you got?
I don't know if Bree was on last week. It was early in the week at some point. They were asking, like, what was you doing at this moment, Joe?
Oh, yeah. We were trying to figure out where you were. Like, where's Waldo? Like, where is Hugh Douglas?
Hey, well, by what time? I tell you.
It was around this time.
Yeah. And Hugh, I was like,
on Thursday or Friday.
No, this was early in the week.
I think he's at a gentleman's club popping mushrooms right now. I didn't know how far off I was. You were like 11:30 in the morning.
No, I haven't been to it. Like, a gentleman's club, that's not really my thing. That's not, I mean, I've been to one, but
that's
not my
thing. Let me explain to you why it's not his thing. He would have to spend money. And he was cheap.
Sponsor.
Rhea telling the whole truth right there. More money, less you.
Yeah, you're lying about that.
Here's what I don't want to ask you on this. How much did we spend on Romano? 10 mil?
Romano was 8 million and Kepler was 10. So he flushed 18 million down the toilet last offseason.
I'm going to stick with the lead pitch. Romano was 8 to 8 million, you're saying, right?
8, yeah. Or 8 and a half, something like that.
And the geriatric Robertson, who's 40 now, he's getting, what, 5 mil? It was like 16 mil, but it's prorated and it's 5 mil.
I think
right?
It's about 5.5. Yeah, something like that, because it's prorated for the season. Yep.
13 and a half, $14 million. And we're still worse off than if that money we would have spent on Hoffman and Estevez, right? So he's making up for a mistake that he made, and we're still worse with worse relief pitching. What job has this guy done in the last couple of years that his job shouldn't be in question? If they don't, Joe, you're right. They might not make the playoffs. They should have a 6-7-8 game lead with the way the Mets are folding.
I know.
And with the way they're squandering. And with that money he spent on Everybody Loves Romano and that money he spent on the geriatric...
Nobody loves Romano. Let's be real.
Well, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I know.
We'll play on words. And the money he spent on a 40-year-old relief pitcher who Father Time could just catch up to him just like that. We could have spent that money on a guy that we had. We're still worse off. That should be an embarrassment what he just did.
Well, I mean, that's what it feels like the next 10 days are about, to undo the mistakes of the offseason.
I don't think anybody was real, you know, up in arms about Estevez going.
No.
Because he was okay.
Yes.
He was okay. The Hoffman thing was weird. Now, listen, did he implode, 100%?
But he gave him 2 good years.
But he gave him 2 good years. But how many? It was the physicals. And it was weird.
He failed with the Braves and the Orioles, physical, yeah.
So I was curious about that, whether or not the Phillies saw it. But he pitched well early on, but he's not been pitched well lately.
Yeah, he's kind of come back. So it was good, then bad, now good again.
Okay.
I think his ERA's in the 4s, which compared to Romano is great.
Yeah.
And Joe, if I could give, I'm going to give a little remedy, a little prescription to, I'm from Delco now. Well, I'm in Delco now, but to all the tri-state area, Delaware County, I got a prescription that'll heal what we're going through right now with the Phillies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
And I called Rob Ellis to tell him this after the game yesterday. You ready? Watch the best 3 plays in Eagles history, and you feel better. Sack, pick 6 for a fumble. As soon as that Phillies game was over, I DVR'd the Super Bowl, and I watched those 3 downs. with the sack and the Eugene pick six fumble, and instantly I felt better.
It does make you feel better.
I rewatched the NFL Films like 35-minute highlight package for no particular reason. Maybe on Saturday, Hugh, I might have had a couple glasses of wine. I was feeling good.
Yeah,
I was feeling good.
Nothing wrong with that. A couple glasses of wine, Eagles highlights.
Yeah, I was looking at the Super Bowl ring, and by the way, people are upset that it's gaudy. Yes, it is as gaudy.
It's supposed to be.
And as beautiful as the 40-6 beating they put on Kansas City.
That's what I'm saying.
So I like the wings.
The wings are
fun. I thought it was cool. Yeah.
They're fun. You're not wearing this.
That's the biggest ring that I've ever. I was telling Joe, to your point, if you're not wearing that ring anywhere unless it's a special occasion.
You're only wearing it to the next time they get a Super Bowl.
You're going
to
get
robbed.
You're not
like Tom Brady who shows up at events with all six of his rings, you know, because he's feeling shorted about something else. But no, I went out watch, and here's the crazy thing. Jalen looked so good in that game.
Like, he was great.
I know he was the MVP, but when you go back and you look at some of the throws he made, like we always talk, I'm guilty of it. Doesn't throw over the middle. Threw a beautiful pass to Goddard and one to AJ.
Yep. And also, I thought his running in that game. Oh. Sometimes he'll run to get away from pressure. Sometimes he'll see it early.
And then take off.
It was like he was in command of that
picking
game.
Picking up first downs. Yeah. It was just really, to rewatch it, you go, all this nonsense about him being ninth. It's ridiculous.
Well, you see, he's not even in Cam Newton's top 10. Did you see that this weekend? I mean, I said this recently. If you have him anywhere.
People are clout chasing now just to get people to mention you.
Anywhere between, to me, 5 and 8 or 9, I don't think it's egregious. You want to have him wherever you want to have him. But out of the top 10 feels almost insane. Like he.
Like you're trying to get people to point
out. It doesn't make any sense to me.
You know what I was sitting there thinking? Because just going back, like when I played, you get information on quarterbacks and you know what they are good and not good at. Mm-hmm. So you try to exploit that. And when you said the throws that Jalen was making, Spags knew that going into that game that Jalen didn't make those throws.
Yeah.
So they weren't a threat until they became
until they became one.
And this is like, I was thinking about that and then the whole Cam Newton thing. And I know we're about to get into it, but the thing, like, everybody's entitled to have their own opinion.
Sure.
But just like we sit in those meetings when I played, new information comes in every week. And the fact that they pigeonhole Jay, he's not going to do this, that, and the third. Yep. They paid for it. It was one play where the blitz came free. I think it was the one that, was it Dotson? Who scored on that long
well, Dotson? He got down to the 1 yard.
Yes. And then they pushed it.
And you remember when the blitz came free, Jalen threw it because he read the blitz. He knew he was going to take
a hit.
Which
they also said he couldn't do, and he did it fine last year.
He read the blitz. Yeah. He saw the pressure coming, and he threw to the open man. See, that's the thing that when people want to talk about Jalen, they always want to talk about what he did weeks ago.
Yeah.
And to be fair, you watch film on what they did last, you know, and you watch it in the last four games, and you watch how he played it in the last game.
He got better each game.
Yes, and that's how you look at it. But, I just find it interesting that he still – people are still trying to figure out what he is.
The dagger, which I know, you know, certain people in this radio station don't like to hear that phrase anymore, was an amazing throw. He made like seven other amazing throws. The touchdown to A.J. Brown was placed where only A.J. Brown could catch it.
He has one of the best touch on the deep ball of anyone in the league.
It's beautiful.
I mean, he really does.
But it was just fun. Like I said, it was just fun to go through that again. Because they shut Saquon down.
They did.
I mean,
he was ineffective.
Ineffective. Yeah.
You know, I could tell just by us getting excited talking about those highlights. People are ready for football. We're ready for Wednesday. Training camp is here. Are you guys out there Wednesday?
I believe so, but I'm going on vacation.
Okay. Yeah. We're out there on Wednesday and the morning show. Same thing on Thursday this week and then a bunch next week moving on. All right, quickly, before we let you go, I wanted to play something that happened on your show this morning. Ruben said this. I thought of this too last night when it went down, but it was interesting that Joe had the comp and Ruben himself had this comp. Here's Ruben Amara talking about Robertson and what he thought when they signed him.
So the Robertson thing, when I heard it and he threw for scouts recently, the first thing I thought of was you and Pedro.
That is the first thing I thought of.
I mean,
you're right on top of it, babe. Because it's important to it's about making yourself marginally better. And if you can make yourself marginally better, I don't know that David Robertson moves the needle so much that now you can say, it's a World Series team. I don't think you say that, but I do say that you're better. And that's the most important part. You got to get better with your moves.
I thought that too yesterday. Like, it's I don't expect David Robertson to come in here and be the guy, but Pedro was good for the 09 Phillies.
You wonder if Pedro hadn't been sick in that World Series game.
I thought you could tell early there was just no stamina. He had nothing.
I was surprised they sent him out there.
I know.
You know, which we didn't know about maybe at the time. But no, Pedro was... Didn't he have a great... was it against the Dodgers?
I think it was in the NLCS. Yeah.
Terrific. Absolutely terrific. So, no, I mean, yes... Because the moves that he's made in the past at the deadline have not made them better.
They haven't.
No.
Actually, ironically, one of them was Robertson, and he traded for him in 22.
Exactly.
Just go back to the well. Yeah. This one worked out. I do
go
like,
back to the girl you know.
Yep, you know what? Listen, sometimes if you know a player works, you know a player works. All right, we shall see with David Robertson. Rhea, we appreciate you hopping
always
in.
As always.
A pleasure.
Enjoy your vacation.
I'll be here one more day tomorrow.
And then we'll see you when you get back.
And it'll be getaway day tomorrow.
Getaway day.
All right.
Just like with the Phillies. You're going to swing at the first pitch and get out of here. All right. There she goes, Rhea Hughes. All right, on the other side, your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Are the Phillies a lock for the postseason? I don't believe they are. I mean, they certainly are. They have a real chance and a good chance to make it. But a lock? I think the Phillies are operating as if they are. Getting a 40-year-old reliever is going to take weeks to get here. And I don't see a sense of urgency to make a big, big move. Where do you come down on the Phillies? Are they a lock to make the playoffs? They're under 500 since the beginning of June. And when we get back, there was one great thing this weekend. It was Bryce Harper looking like the old Bryce Harper with three home runs. We'll talk about Bryce and how much that impacts things. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.